둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Great to be here.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here. For checking out the episode, please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. New one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. 3 a week just like this one to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover those new ones. Of course, you can grab us anywhere you get podcasts. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give this series a rating, leave a review while you're at it. And there have been some fantastic guests on lately. Samantha Morton, the actress starring as the Serpent Queen, also has a new record, Daffodils and Dirt. We talked with the cast of Women in Blue on Apple TV Plus. Adam Duritz of Counting Crows, comedian Reggie Watts about his new stand-up special, Nevermind. Ryan Tedder of One Republic was here. Derek Whibley of Sum 41. Juliana Hatfield, Tammy Stronach, she was the childlike empress in The Neverending Story. She's back in Man and Witch. Victoria Justice, who's also got music and is in the pilot episode of Suits LA, the reboot. Minnie Driver, also starring in Serpent Queen. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with comedic legend Weird Al Yankovic. He has a new polka medley, Polkamania. We're going to be talking about how he's tying some of the biggest pop hits of the last decade together from Taylor Swift and Billie Eilish and Adele, among others, into one of his medleys of polka music. We'll also be talking about how his relationship with pop music has changed through the years and how a lack of monoculture has made it harder to gauge what songs will be hits. Al's going to go on to look back at Mandatory Fun for its 10th anniversary and his decision to pull back from doing traditional albums. We'll dig into his incredible catalog of original songs, talk about tracks like That Boy Could Dance and Lame Claim to Fame, and writing them to still be funny years later. How do you do that? Also, how he and his band can seemingly mimic any single genre, it seems like. And the UHF star also discusses his work outside of music and how the past decade has shown him to be a much bigger multimedia artist. Why he was hanging with the Stranger Things gang, and we'll hear about his Annie Jam music videos. All that and more as we dig into Polkamania. It's Kyle Meredith with Weird Al Yankovic.
Hey, how you doing?
It's such a pleasure to have you here, but it's such a pleasure to have, it's so exciting to have new music once again from you. Polkamania is out, storming up the charts, taking over the world. And so this is a fun little story, and I hope you don't mind. I know this is what you've been talking about a lot. It'd be a good place to start, but here you are. You're looking at sort of the biggest number one pop songs, or your favorite number one pop songs of the last decade. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I chose only number one songs. I wanted to pick a dozen songs that I think kind of encapsulated the zeitgeist of the last 10 years. And those were the songs I picked.
So your polka medleys, you know, I hear you talk about the way you have to put them together as a puzzle, but they are always so impressively done. Like, you hear some artists, especially with composer minds, and they'll tell you, like, they can look at something and they just see all the parts at once. How does it work for you? Is it anything similar to that?
Well, it's not like that A Beautiful Mind kind of thing, or like, you know, it becomes like 3D and the, you know. No, it's a lot more just kind of a trial and error. You know, once I have a group of songs that I know are going to be the medley, then it's just me, like, just trying things and see what segues naturally from one thing into another to try to keep the flow going so that the song always feels like it's heading in some kind of direction, but you never know exactly where it's going.
Well, for you to be able to pull it off time and time and time again, I mean, seriously, that's no easy feat. And for you to still be plugged in the way you are, as we get older, as many people get older, you know, like, you pull back from pop culture. A lot of people, you know, what are the scientific studies like? You know, a lot of people stop seeking out new music by the time they're 30. You know, you crutch on that coming of age stuff at this. And then you get a few of the obsessives like us. But for you to have done it, you know, for 40 years, over 40 years, like, has your relationship with pop music changed at all?
Probably in the last 10 years. Years, because ever since I stopped doing conventional albums, I haven't been so laser focused on the Billboard charts. I'm still very aware of pop music, and I, you know, I listen to the radio. And my daughter keeps me current. She's 21 years old, and when we're riding in the car, she's got the aux, and she always, you know, keeps me update with the newest music. But yeah, I haven't been quite as focused on the pop charts. Which was one of the reasons why it was sort of a good litmus test when I was coming up with this polka medley, because I figured in the last 10 years, if it was on my radar as a certified old person, then it must be a pretty big hit.
I always think of it's similar. Like, I want to say it was maybe a Ricky Gervais quote, because, you know, his was a lot of his comedy's a lot of, you know, pop focused. And I think they asked him, like, you know, he's like, no, I don't stay plugged in at all. But if it makes it to me, it must be. It's that kind of thing. And there is, right, there's something about these songs, right? Like, these group of songs, they transcend. They've already proven themselves as, I don't want to say timeless. Everything's stuck in an era, more or less. But somehow they've went there.
Yeah, I mean, back in the early days, it was a lot easier to determine what the hits were because, you know, MTV put something in heavy rotation and that became a hit. And everybody was intimately familiar with that. And you know, it's gotten a little bit harder to really distinguish what are the songs that have really captured the public imagination. I've talked about this a lot, about there being a monoculture back in the old days, and nowadays, not quite so much. So, yeah, having a whole decade to pick through made my job a little easier.
I miss the monoculture, and that wasn't something I expected to say, because I can remember, you know, when you know, we got a 5-disc CD changer, and I thought, this is the greatest thing, because I can, you know, I can listen to all these things at once, and how amazing will it be one day if you have everything? And now we have everything, and I find that the most exciting moments in pop culture are when we're all watching Succession, or when we're all watching Game of, like, to find those moments where we come as close as we can to what that monoculture was ends up being something extra, extra special.
It is, like, any kind of events, anything where you're watching it live. I mean, even, gosh, when I was a kid, I mean, this is going back half a century, but, you know, before VCRs, before, you know, cable TV, I remember, like, once a year they would play The Wizard of Oz on television, and everybody watched it at the same time. It was great, but that was life back in, you know, back in the old days.
Do you think that's why politically we've gotten where we are? And I'm not trying to paint the picture of where we are politically, but the fact that it does feel like everybody seems to be a bit more plugged in. Like, this is the thing. This is the thing that everybody's paying attention to now. Political landscape is our monoculture suddenly, scarily.
Kind of. I guess just because it's the most immediate, and it's, you know, we got all the 24-hour cable news channels and things like that. Yeah, we're kind of bombarded with it. So whether we like it or not, that's kind of, yeah, become our new monoculture.
It's a long way to go to say I really love Pokemania and what's going on.
Well, thank you.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Weird Al Yankovic.
For this, of course, to be on the 10th anniversary of Mandatory Fun, as it's been saying, you know, here's the first, was it the first comedy album in history to land at number one? Was that it at the time?
It was the first one ever to debut at number one, and it was the first comedy album to even make number one since like 1963.
Yeah, it's incredible. And everything that you said, and I'm not going to ask you the question that everybody asks at this point in the interview, because we know that answer is like, where's the album? It's not about that, but for you to have seen the sea change, not just in your own career, but in where we were going, I don't know if you're able to answer that, but how did you know?
Well, I mean, it's partly, you know, I kind of saw that the albums as a, you know, as a product were slowly diminishing in sales. People were more focused on streaming and individual tracks. So the whole form was, you know, kind of on a decline. But for me, that had always been the case because, you know, I was getting increasingly frustrated with having to wait until I had a dozen songs and then release them all at once. You know, it's nice that the albums became events and it was nice to be able to promote a whole group of songs at once, but it was always frustrating for me to come up with a song and then, okay, well, maybe in a year when I finish the album, people can actually hear this. And now I can just put things out whenever I feel like it.
There were such great songs on there. And I was listening back in like Lame Claim to Fame. It's still funny. Like that's got to be the hardest thing, right? Like the parodies are one thing, and then you have these originals, and I'm such a fan of your originals. And a song like that, you know, to find the point where that's going to be funny still down the line. And I can say that about so many of your songs. Like how much of that is on your mind when you're writing your own music?
Whether it's going to be evergreen or going to be funny in 20 years kind of thing. You know, to some extent, I mean, that's one of the big reasons why I stay away from political comedy and humor. I mean, I did a video with the Gregory brothers like a couple of weeks ago about
that was
how,
great,
like,
by the way.
Thank you. But I mean, the whole point of it is like, oh, Trump is running against Biden again. And now that song, which is like 2 weeks old, is completely out of date, you know? So I try not to do things that I think are not going to be funny like 2 months from now. You know, certainly there are some references I made in songs that, probably, you know, 20, 30 years later, people don't know what I'm talking about, but hopefully it's still funny. And, I mean, that's kind of the main thing is like, whatever I do, I want to make sure that people still find it amusing, even if you're not familiar with the original source material, or if you don't get all of the arcane references.
And then, you know, it's always like you destroyed genre for me in the best way when I was young. You were one of the first artist I think that showed me like you don't have to have the single lane, because it became so much fun to listen to these songs, especially the originals, but try to figure out, you know, sort of where they were coming from, you know. And just it's so hard for most musicians to write outside of, you know, it's not even that they don't, most people listen to multiple things, but when they become a writer, like that's it. And I don't know if you can even figure that part out, but you were able to go, you know, I can do this and make it, you know, sound like the B-52s and I can write in that style. Or Lame Claim to Fame, which to me, I don't know where that was coming from. I hear Southern culture on the skids.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Yeah, which I love them. It's a great group of people there. But where did that come from for you? Because again, that's talent. And I go back, like, that's one of those composers. I'm sorry, that's a beautiful mind type of a thing right there.
Well, thank you. You know, I have to give a lot of credit to my band. I've had the same band for over 40 years, and they're, you know, some of the greatest musicians in the world, and they do every genre imaginable. So it's nice to be able to work with talented people. It, you know, it makes you up your game. And yeah, you know, it's nice in a way that I don't have like a singular style. A lot of artists try to cultivate a sound. And my thing has just always been just borrowing from everybody. I've always liked making my albums as eclectic as possible and have the songs segue to each other in as jarring a way as possible. Like, you know, make it a real whiplash effect. So that was always fun for me, just to really just mix it up and just go genre hopping as much as humanly possible.
On that question of albums, and I know so I think what I keep grabbing onto when people ask you about it is you say, I'm not going to make another traditional Weird Al Yankovic record. And I thought, what's that word traditional mean? Because that doesn't, there's a little bit of a door, right? Like, I want the album of originals, nothing but, like, that's as a greedy fan, that's what I would love to hear.
Well, that would be nice. What I kind of meant by that is, like, special projects will probably come up, and they have already. I mean, you know, last year, or I guess the end of 2022, we put out the soundtrack to Weird Al Yankovic Story, which is a double LP, which had a brand new Weird Al song called Now You Know, which played over the closing credits, Emmy nominated, and some re-recordings of some of my hits that were used in the movie, and also the pretty much the entire score from the movie. So that was something I was intimately involved in. Not a Weird Al album per se, even though, you know, I was a producer, I contributed to it, you know, certainly had my imprint on it, but I wouldn't consider that as really part of my discography per se.
Yeah, I mean, even I know we're in the era of playlisting, and I can make the album myself, but even a compilation best of just your songs, your original songs, with the one new song at the end, because that's how you do a best of, right? Like, I'm just poking. I'd take it. I'm trying to make it happen. I'm trying to manifest it. That's
keep at it.
I will keep at it. It's also the 40th anniversary of In 3D. That was my entry point. That was my entry point right there. What an incredible, speaking of great singles, I was looking at the track list right here. That Boy Could Dance. Where did that one come from?
gosh, I'm trying to think back 40 years now. I don't know. I think that was partly inspired by a Kink song, partly inspired by the fact that I've always been a dorky dancer. You know, I will not get on a dance floor. You know, when I'm on stage, I flail around, and I don't know if you consider that dancing, but that's not the kind of thing you would, you know.
Hey, David Burns made a career out of it too, so it's...
Well, that's true, yeah, yeah.
He calls it movement. You don't have to call it dance. It's movement.
I'm not sure even those David Byrne moves would work really like in a club. But it's fun to see on stage.
Yeah, a King of Suede theme for like we all have these moments with you, and you've become such an important part of a lot of our lives. And growing up, you know this, you're in the fabric of so many people's DNA, you know, that when King of Pain comes on the radio, I can't sing the Police lyrics. I have to sing King of Suede. I have to sing Rire of the Kaiser. You know, it's these moments. I know that's not a question, but that's. I just want to give you those compliments, because those moments have really, honestly, been some of my favorite musical memories.
That's really sweet. That means a lot to me. And I just hope I haven't completely ruined music for you.
You've enriched it, I think. You've liberated
music
for me.
Improved it. There you go.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Weird Al Yankovic. Well, I do know in the last decade, like, it also seems like you are, I don't know if you're making a point, but you have proven that you are more than just this one thing. And you've done that. I mean, of course, we've had the movie stuff too, UHF, all of that. But has it been more of a concentrated thing, like, to kind of say, I am more than, even beyond just the new movie, the animation, everything that goes along with it?
I don't know if that's like somewhere in the back my mind. I don't think that I have a real, you know, desire to prove myself. Like, I'll show them all wrong. You know, I'm just doing what I think is fun. And, you know, I know that I'm primarily known for writing parody music, but, and I still enjoy doing that, but I've kind of decided to focus on other things because at this point in my life, you know, I want to try different things. So I'm more concerned with like feature films, TV projects. I love voice acting, and I still love touring. I still do that all the time, and I love to go out and play live. But it's I don't think it's really an effort to like expand people's opinion of me. Although if that happens, I guess that's a nice byproduct.
Did it ever feel like then? I hope I'm not going too deep on this one. Did it ever feel like the expectations, like you were saying, you're known for certain things? Like what you had to do next still had to be playing the parts.
Yeah, I suppose so. Like one example is the vanity tours. I've done a couple of tours where I did nothing but exclusively my original songs, which again, you could look at it as like, oh, Al is trying to change his image, or he's trying to show that he's more than just the parody guy. But the reason we did it was just because we thought it would be fun. Like I you know, I've been doing the big concerts with the costumes and the props and the video servers and all that for so many years, and I enjoy doing that. But I thought it'd be fun once or twice to just go out on stage with a band and sit down on stools and play like regular old musicians. So that played to a much smaller audience, you know. That was more the hardcore fan service, but I enjoyed it and the band enjoyed it, and I don't know if we'll do it again, but that was just something that we wanted to try.
You got to take that moment, right? I mean, if you're lucky enough to have a career, at some point you got to say, okay, halt, we're going to do this over here now. Like, when else would you do that? What's next? And I mean that like kind of literally, because you seem to always be popping up. I see you in a picture with the Stranger Things kids, and I'm like, is he in the new season of Stranger Things? Like, what are you doing next?
To answer that question, I am not. They've had a couple of nice shout outs in Stranger Things, but I'm not in the new season. I was at charity event with Finn and Gayton in Kansas City called Big Slick, which was a lot of fun. And I wish I could tell you all the stuff that's in development. I've got about a half a dozen things which I'm actively working on, trying to get going, pitching. And as you well know, a lot of things in development never see the light of day. And I've learned early on not to promote things that may or may not happen, because a lot of the times they do not happen. But there are very exciting things on the horizon. And again, I wish I could tell you about them, but I can't.
That's close enough to nothing that we could get right there. So I'll take close enough to nothing. And I expect, you know, like these little one-offs, even they are still so much fun. Like what you're putting out there. I love these. And I didn't even mention the video, because you've been doing these, you call it, what's it called? Anajam? Is that the phrase? Yeah. Anajam.
I didn't come up with that. That was coined by a Canadian animator named Marv Newland. Marv Newland, back in the late 70s or early 80s, he's the guy that did Bambi Meets Godzilla. Did you ever see that? So I don't think he's that proud of it. He did that like when he was a teenager or something. And that's like still his like most famous work. But he got a bunch of his animator friends together and would do like these projects where everybody would do like 10 seconds worth of animation, and then you string it all together. And I thought, well, that's a cool idea, and that would work great for the medley.
It's fun to watch, and it just adds that extra little layer to it. I love what you do. I'm so excited that we get to talk about this. Again, congrats on this world-dominating new polka medley that you've given into the world. It's going to be the next number one. It's Song of the Summer, I think, is what people are saying. I'm hearing everyone say that.
Oh, yes, yes, so, yes.
Yeah, that's what everyone's saying. When you put all the songs of the summers together, you know, nature does its thing, right? You can't not.
It's an endless summer. It creates global warming.
Well, look what you've done. And that's where we'll end this. Al, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about
it. My pleasure. My pleasure. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
My thanks to Weird Al Yankovic. Pokemania out now. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. Please do give the series a rating, leave a review as well. And then after that, you can head over to WFPK.org. So I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. In fact, you get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Fanny, Brian Ferry, Wire, Jam Nation, Blackalicious, The Jam, Calexico, MGMT, Imani Coppola, Jimmy Cliff, Billy Joel, Jenny Lewis, Bruce Springsteen, The Afghan Whigs, Louis Armstrong, Modern English, Massive Attack, Tegan and Sarah, and my interview with comedian Ali Sadiq. Again, just an example of what you can hear when you tune in weeknights, 6 p.m. at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. And I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.